You see, every time he used that, there was a magic number I gave you. The Federal Reserve said they would not honor that for more than $2.410 billion. So Mr. Bush has now got banks in trouble, going out of business. Right now, Sumitomo is trying to deal. And it's always $2.410 billion down. Because he never, ever dreamed that he couldn't pull off the theft. Well, he underestimated God. That's what they always do.
Gary has some interesting things to say about gold.
We'd hear that, Gary.
Back the mic.
Before or after pineapple cake?
After. Pretty interesting.
Let's hear it now.
Yeah.
Let's hear it now and we can talk about it then.
Right. Let's talk about Israel, Gary, and the placement of all the gold and the Russian czar.
I think what Rick is referring to this lunch. Hold on, Rick. Thank you.
Yeah, a little closer.
Okay.
It's not on.
Up to five.
Battery's in wrong.
Where's that, son?
Go.
I see.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Put it on your shirt.
Right.
There you go.
A little
higher up.
Okay. At lunch today, Rick and I was talking about going back to 1918 when the Bolsheviks took over Russia. The Tsarist government had the largest fortune in the world. And every bit of it was stolen. What it amounted to, it wasn't just gold and jewels. It was bonds, deeds, like, for instance, most of the major railroads in the world. The Russian Tsar had the major portion of the control over them. And I'm just saying this for, this is the kind of a fortune that they had. It was all moved from Russia at that time, even 1918. Or shortly thereafter, from Europe, it was moved over to North Africa. Where at that time, I don't know. But then, after the Jewish people started moving back to Israel and developing it and stealing our secrets, like going back to the point of the when the Rosenbergs stole the atom bomb secrets and took them to Russia, all of this wealth and everything else was put into a place. There was a small town in the Negev desert called Dimona. And to begin with, Dimona was nothing more than the experimental station and the place where they were developing their rockets and the ability to tip their rockets with nuclear and atomic explosions. And so eventually this big unit at Dimona developed they built a very large section down underneath it where all the wealth of the world, nearly all of our wealth that was gold and everything that was in Fort Knox is in Dimona. And that was stolen from the, in fact, that's another contention because a lot of that land around there belonged to the Bedouins and the Arabs, and that was even under possibly inclusion of being given back. Well, naturally, this petrified the Israeli government to think of that. But the point is that Rick is trying to make is the wealth that they've got over there. And we've got nothing but our dollar bills, which are backed up by nothing. And we all know that Robert Rubin and Alan Greenberg can crank up the press. And this is in the case of the of grandma's holdings of what she says. Suppose they offered to buy it. The government offered, which guaranteed it, offered to buy it for not $2.4 billion, but for $6 trillion, the amount of our national debt. What would she get? Robert Rubin and Alan Greenspan would crank up the press. She'd get $6 trillion worth of notes, and what? And Israel still got the gold and the treasure over in Dimona. Now, I'm having real trouble with that. I mean, maybe some of you guys can explain that to me. If Grandma gets this money, she's got $6 trillion. If she gets them in, I don't know what the largest bill we make now, but if she gets them in $100 bills, she'd need the state of Nevada to store them. There's that many of them. So, and they'd be worthless because the gold is still in Israel's hand in Dimona. And this is one of the things. Now, Doris said something that triggered my mind, that the wealthy Jewish people that have lived in this country and lived the kind of life that they live here, they don't want to go to Israel. You know, I've been there. They talk about the it's beautiful. There's land and everything else. But there's nothing there like Hollywood and Beverly Hills and Palm Springs that attracts the Jewish people like it does. They don't want to go over there. They don't care nothing about that.
They don't work. They're parasites.
Well, sure. They've got those people that never worked a day of their life. And where do they come from? But I'm trying to, what I'm trying to say is what Rick and I was talking about. Why is the banks and everybody offering Grandma is it 2.4?
Well, they did. That was all they allowed to be sold for.
Right.
No. They've only offered $250 million.
All right. If that's true, but suppose, like I say, they offered the $6 trillion, that would pay off our national debt, saying that that's what the national debt is. And she, Grandma, gets all this money. Then she wants to pay the national debt off. Our government. Robert Rubin prints $6 trillion worth of dollar bills with nothing behind them. Hands them to Grandma. Then Grandma hands them back to the government and says our national debt is paid off. Where are we? We got no gold. We don't have the bills anymore. The government got them back. Unless somebody's got a whole bunch of money in their pocket, how are they going to pay their county taxes or property taxes? It's chaos is what it amounts to, the whole thing.
Well, it won't work that way.
If they offered Grandma $6 trillion worth of gold to be transported over here, okay, then we're okay. We don't need this Federal Reserve's $1 trillion worth of dollar bills. I'm going to let somebody that's far smarter than I am in this in that kind of a transaction, explain that, because Doris is...
Hand it to Rick.
I know. Anybody want this?
It will never work that way. And, of course, until forced to do so, they're not going to dig it up. But they're not going to have a choice. What I'm trying to tell you is they are not going to have a choice. Ecker, you don't know what you're doing. And at some point, you know, you have a situation where you have the ability, literally, to alchemize gold. So there's nothing particularly wondrous about gold. We can set an entirely different metal. If I controlled the world, I would also control what we base our value on. But the place where they're going to fall short, you see, is in that area of the world where interest is unsuitable religiously. And that takes it back to where you began to have something as a measure of value. What really has happened is gold has been usurped in value to purchase oil. Now, all of you have been taught that oil is decayed dinosaurs and things like that. That's BS. Oil is a very renewable resource. But that's a different kind of science lesson. You don't any longer know anything. Do you see? You've been dumbed down to the point that if some Mr. Sagan comes on and says, well, we're going to run out of oil. How do you know that, Mr. Sagan? Because Chief Justice Supreme Court William P. Clark told me so. That becomes an authoritative statement that has no basis whatsoever. The billions of gallons of oil that you have barrels, not to mention gallons, of oil that you have pumped out of this earth, the earth would have imploded, just fallen in on itself. So don't bite on the silliness. You don't have oil shortages. You have politicians. But basically, the politicians require that you continue to pollute. So at some point, you're going to kill yourself off and your planet because you are not a renewable resource much longer. Never mind oil. But there's no need to start changing the value base of currency. Gold is okay, and there's quite a lot of gold. But as far as gold in circulation or the allowed amount of constitutional currency, you can't even think in those terms anymore. Once there was nothing to base currency on as a commodity of value, you lost it. Basically, what would happen would be that you can make, in the perfect world, a claim could be made against the treasury and have to be honored in gold value. And that would be lodged against the Federal Reserve that took on the authority of making money. It became the legal tender. But you see, you've never had a legitimate legislature or Congress since the early 30s. Do you realize that? You have been in a state of emergency or under the power of the administration and not Congress. So you've not even had a legitimate sitting of Congress in all of those years, a constitutional sitting of Congress. So to consider that, well, I'll cash in this money is silly also. I'll just cash this in. It has this much value. No, it has enough value to wipe out the debt and completely wipe out the banking industry and collapse the economy. So that's not the way that it can be allowed to be handled. That is anarchy and chaos. So it will have to take a rightful and reasonable evolvement. And the hope would be that you are not foolish enough just to exchange one tyrant for another just to have a change. Sometimes change breeds simply more chaos. So you have the structure you need in your constitutional law to prevent moving into chaos. And when you have control of the banksters by the you-know-what, they will start producing the gold they took away. Because this instrument is based on gold, gold coins, and gold bullion. That includes gold dust. So you do have a commodity, a precious metal, upon which they have usurped its value. And this is what Mr. Bush has used to get a corner on the oil market of the world. And gold. And they transferred a lot of that gold. They were so stupid, they transferred it to Turkey. That was not smart. George Bush and his twigs think they've got it sewed up. They have pumped sweet crude into the underground fields in Turkey. They had a deal, see, with Bahrain and this whole area in here. And they just stashed gold in that mountain, and it's a natural gold mine area. But for goodness sakes, it's in Turkey. And there is no worse, miserable, mean bunch of people than the Turks. You heard that. The Turks are coming. And this is part of the problem that they're having with the Kurds. So you're going to have to get some of that gold back. Now, let's think where there is a lot of more gold.
Brussels.
Try South Africa, where they've stashed it. You see, the elite depended on being able to work with Mandela, etc., and phase out the blacks. Now, I mean it. Genocide. And that area will become the new, if you will, United States type of luxurious living. And that is going to be their private recreation area. And you're going to have the Sun Cities and the Sin Cities and all of this that they seem to thrive on. Well, the South Africans aren't really in favor of that. So everywhere these takers are finding themselves, as has been the history since the beginning of the planet, they are never welcome very long. And yet they always come in and they gain control. But there's something about them. They don't have loyalty, and they will jump ship. And you're going to see a massive ship jumping taking place. And the problem comes because there will be massive changes in the earth structure at the same time as some of these things are happening. So you have to have a method whereby you can reclaim and recover as parts of things go down. The reason that it has been so important for this paper to try to include ones like Gary and I keep saying Stitch because he has had some insight into things like the aviation industry. Wherever you are and whatever you happen to open up to, where you can have some realization is what your topic is. Eustace Mullins. There is an entire mass of worthy writers who know and understand to pull from. And you're going to have a hub from whence these ones can have voice. Because once you have informed the public, they won't put up with it. You will always have the masses that will just go with whatever's the better deal at the moment. But it's not going to be one of those things like overnight there are only 14 of you left and therefore 220 tons of wheat is going to last you. It won't be like that. It will be a breaking up. It will be a series of wars. It will be many things over a period of time. And the human body can't exist under some of these conditions and without food and shelter. There will be a massive shifting of the topography, continents. And you simply have to be prepared. So somebody's got to think of those things, and you have to have input of value to be able to obtain these things. You've got to live in this society as it is structured, no matter what. And that means even if the currency is without value, you need it as bad as they do, don't you? You can't go down to the market and say, oh, well, here's my gold tooth. I'll take 20 loaves of bread, please. They'll call the cops because that's the mentality. You've given them more value, but there is no concept of it. There's no perception of it. To most people in this very town, if they were listening to this, would say they're a bunch of Jew haters, which is absolutely the farthest thing in opposition to what we're saying. And they would like to say things like that, and we'll put you in a corner, and we'll crucify you if you continue to do this. What? We're not even a California corporation. We're not a church, we're not a cult, we're not anything. We're nothing. What are they going to hang you for? Freedom of speech? When they don't even understand the speech. No. That's not what we're about. My mission is to inform. Your job is to inform to the best of your ability through whatever resources you can gather and share to put it out. You see, I have no patience with somebody who sends me a copyrighted paper and says you can't use it. Then don't bother me with it. Because, number one, I don't believe you know whether or not you even have the truth, and why would I waste my time? If you can't share it with your brother openly and honorably and honestly because you want to do better for your nation and your world, then don't bother me with it. And certainly if you send me something and I use it to turn around and sue me, once again upsets me. This is not a job. No man is an island. Gary cannot do it alone. He's got to have help. And even if he could, he doesn't have the variety of information that allows someone in South Africa to function. Even if he knows what's taking place in South Africa. And as long as the media is so totally controlled that they're not even going to let you on their talk radio shows without ridiculing you off the air, then you've no hope. If you have not built something where you can go around and make no waves, ones have been offended. Don't bring your video cameras in here. Why would you want to take Doris's picture? She hates it. Because you want to turn it into somebody else's responsibility. She's a translator, nothing more. A secretary. She's very, very informed. But we make very, very sure that you ones You watch Gary fumbling around from time to time, saying to himself, I know this, I know this, why can't I think of it? Well, these are sometimes games we play. Because it's just better for you not to know everything. And the enemy believes me. Believe me, the enemy knows you don't know it all. And therefore, there is no point in killing Doris Ecker. You can try to take her house. You can do all these things. There is no longer any merit in killing her. But you can sure make life miserable and hope that she will just say no more. I'm done with this. Just like they would like Gary to say, hey, let's all denounce my book and we'll all go home and have a picnic. They'll be happy. It doesn't matter any longer about me because I'm tired of the fight. We don't force anything on anybody. We don't hold anybody down and pour it down their gullet. I don't care who doesn't believe the information. It's there. Use it in the birdcage. Use it to start your fires. But please subscribe to it because these people need to eat too. I'm appalled at the attitude of the human structure. Why does one man owe you freedom? If you want freedom, why don't you get freedom? Why does Gary Wing owe you a good justice system when he's been so badly treated by both sides of that injustice system? As to boggle the minds. Why did Jesus owe you salvation? Even the Pharisees set him up. No, I have little patience. Because as the hosts, we are sent here to inform to the best of our ability. All we were told, we had to just get it out. And man would make his choices. God would always provide what man asks for in his earnest intent toward service and goodness. The adversary promises you everything. And I hear it. Yeah, well, we haven't seen much response either. Haven't you? Aren't you better human beings, individual, because you passed this way? You would just be floating out there waiting for that rapture and that revelation and for something to just fall on you that makes you important and rich. And then you die. Life's a bitch and then you die. Haven't you heard it? Life is a glory and then you live. When you find some youngster who really wants to be a doctor, I'm talking about healing, or a draftsman to build great buildings, they don't hate to go to school. They don't hate their lessons. Do you think Da Vinci hated learning about leverages, levers, and muscles, and arches? To build great, great cathedrals. Do you think Michelangelo hated to spend his time learning perception of perspective? The things they hated was the inability to express in the perfection they knew they contained.